Okay, I call this joint meeting of the Houghton Community Council and Kirkland Planning Commission to order. Could we have roll call, please?
Brian Gothrop.
Here.
Bill Goggins. Kelly Curtis.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here.
Carter Bagg.
Here.
Colleen Cullen.
Here.
Mike Miller. Glenn Peterson.
Here.
Matthew Pruitt. Sandeep Singhal.
Here.
John Tim Chisholm.
Present, yeah, here.
Okay. So tonight we will have a public hearing on the city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments. Prior to that, there will be an opportunity for the audience to speak on other topics, but keep any comments related to the amendments for the public hearing. And then we will have a council discussion of the Houghton Evers Business District that we're responding to the City Council's direction, and that'll come after the public hearing. So, with that, do we have anybody from the audience who would care to speak on any subject other than the city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments?
Well, maybe I do.
Please come up to the podium, identify yourself and the address. There is a sign-up for the public hearing as well.
Hi, my name is Margaret Bull. I just wanted to mention something. Sometimes I go to those city open houses, and a few years back there was one about transportation options, and they had different entities represented. And one of them was Puget Sound Transit. And one of the things that Gal mentioned to me when talking about the Houghton Park and Ride was that if they had the money, Puget Sound Transit would love to have the Lee Johnson property because it was such a big property and it was a good location. And I really think someone ought to be thinking of putting a TOD there because it's perfect being right where the Rapid Ride is going to be. And it's perfect place for residential suites or apartments on top of offices or apartments on top of businesses. It's right close to a grocery store, and it's right close to downtown. So I really think if you're trying to find places to cram housing and all those other wonderful things we keep talking about, that's the property you should be looking at. Thank you.
Anyone else care to discuss anything other than the comp plan amendments?
There's a sign-up sheet that I think people signed up for thinking this was for public comment.
Oh, well, if that's the case, could I see it, please?
Margaret, what property was that? I didn't get to write it down.
Lee Johnson Chevrolet.
Lee Johnson Auto Family, I think it's called now. Yeah, 185th? Yeah,
185th.
Okay, so that's a sign up for the comp plan amendments. Oh, just for anything other than, okay, fine. Well, then, with that, first person we have is Doug Waddell. Doug? Oh, and let the record show that Bill Goggins has joined us.
Hello again, Doug Waddell. It's been a while. 13 Central, Suite C, downtown Kirkland. A while back, I was asked to look into residential suites as a possible alternative to our property there in Houghton. I have not done residential suites. I've only done apartments. I did a brief investigation of it, and if residential suites were going to work, it's determined three stories would not work. It would have to be, I'm told, five. I'm willing to make a shot at it at four if that's something you guys are willing to consider. But again, based on my preliminary analysis, it does offer a lot less traffic, but it would be, my guess, 50-50 that it would work at four stories, if that. My thought has always been with that property and the potential of having a diversity of housing is that it all shouldn't be one. It's too big a piece of property to be all four or five stories. My thought has been, and I've expressed this recently, that part of it should be public property and better and improved access to the corridor and then some of it single family, and then a portion of it should be a higher density. If the council and planning commission are not willing to consider four stories, one thing in the, I think it's an unintended consequence that has been written in or left in on three stories, when we were considering five stories and possibly four, we were doing what was called wedding taking the property, where it's just at the setback, at the property line, you set it back after a couple floors. Currently, at three stories, it doesn't require that. Anywhere else in Kirkland that I can think of, it's 30 feet, whether it's residential or condos, doesn't require that. And I think that was left in there because when we had the consultants, we looked at it for the five and four stories. So I would ask that you reconsider, if you're not going to go four stories, if you're sticking with the three, to further cut the property down by having an added setback after two stories. Thank you.
Okay. June Schenck, please.
Yes. Hi, my name is June Schenck, and I live on the corner of Northeast 60th Street and 106 in the Houghton area. And I made my voice known when we were opposed to the added height to the new development opposite Metropolitan Market. And I don't want to see any further height restriction than what we already have there already. Traffic was a big question on the other development, and it's the same here for adding so much more on that corner. I see the traffic. I'm right on the corner. It goes right by there all day long. Can't get out at the certain hours of the day. You know, we're kind of blocked in. A number of my neighbors have moved away in the last few years because we're losing that neighborhood feel. And the other consideration is the parking for the residential suites. It's my understanding that it allows for about a half a parking space per suite, which, where's everybody going to park? On the street, there is no room. We have one-sided street parking on 106 now. There's no room for anything. You need to supply people with parking. I think it's unrealistic to think that everybody's going to use public transportation. We're not a big city. We're a small community. You know, we are the city of Kirkland, but we're small, and we are ruining it. Unfortunately, maybe I won't be around too much longer. My husband and I are just so as much as we're disappointed with what's going on there, we feel really frustrated that the city doesn't listen, that the government does not listen to us, and so many of the people that have been here voicing the same opinions before. So I try to do my part and say what it is, but it seems to fall on a lot of deaf ears. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next we have, well, Margaret, you've already spoken.
Well,
so
I only spoke for part of my time because I didn't know you were going to let me speak again now. So, like, maybe I better say my other things. That's not fair because I thought you were going to have two times to speak.
I'm gonna make an arbitrary decision and give you 1.5 minutes.
Oh, okay? For goodness.
There you
sakes.
Go. Make it fast.
I didn't get a whole whatever last time. Okay, well, I just want to point out that I was out driving around at 6 in the morning on Saturday, and I accidentally went down Northeast 128th instead of the other side of Kingsgate Park and Ride, and that street was totally packed with cars. I've also been to the doctor's office on that street when you go past the Totem Lake Park and Ride site, and because I go to the doctor's office, I've noticed it's always packed because there's lots of apartments there. So if we look around Kirkland, we will see places where there's multifamily housing where the streets are packed with cars. So that does happen. My other point is, so I'm okay with residential suites some places. I think it's a great idea if there's more than half a parking spot, if you increase the parking limit. Sometimes that's a good idea, but it's right time, right place, just like with a garden. So I don't know if this is the right time or the right place. And I have one other thing to say about that. I did see Robert Pantley's Tudor Manor that he converted in Redmond. I thought it was an awful place. I don't know why anyone would want to live there. It had a crap kitchen. It had no living room furniture. It had terrible lighting because all this LED lighting, you know, this special platinum lighting means almost no lighting. Are you going to let me finish with that? No.
That's it. Thank you, Margaret. Next, Sandy Helgeson.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity to speak this evening. I am speaking in opposition to considering residential suites on 106. I've lived there for a while, and as the prior speaker said, we feel the impacts. We sort of are feeling the pain of traffic coming and going, minimal parking. We've heard that a traffic study was done and that parking does exist. I don't know if those were selected times, but parking is severely limited. If you were to add up to 700 residential suites with half a parking space per unit, you're dreaming if all those people are going to only, every other unit is going to own a car. This neighborhood does not support non-car ownership. There's not enough mass transit that takes you enough places. There's not enough restaurants and stores and retail and shopping places. There's two expensive grocery stores. And there's a 7-Eleven. You're not going to meet your daily needs, your weekend needs, without cars. So where are those other, they're going to have 350 parking spaces. Where are those other 350 cars going to park? There's no room. This is a residential community center. I don't think the intent was ever to see 700 plus 500 units there. And we're not anti-housing. I think with the growth of which HENC can accommodate could be up to 500 units. That's a lot of units too. That will bring a lot of traffic. So I don't see the need to expand residential suites to this side of the street. Please keep 106 as a sort of transition to residential. We're talking Houghton. I think our Houghton Community Council, you live there. We're really begging you to sort of respect the residents that have spoken up. You've heard probably from hundreds of people over the past year or two. And I think this is your chance to stand up and veto and stick to your guns and what you initially believed in and talked about. Same with the Planning Commission. Somehow the City Council seems to be saying that to heck with public opinion and we're going to do what's right. Well, what is right? Do the residents sort of have a say in this? I know a lot of city council run unopposed, but does that still mean that you should not listen to what people are asking of you? So I guess we're hoping that you will do the right thing, that you've listened to us, and that you respect that we need parking, that this isn't the right time and the right place, I think, as Margaret said. Maybe where is the right time, right place? Kirkland Urban isn't built out. Google isn't filled out yet. Maybe analyze this again in another 10 years. But I think this isn't the time and the place right now. So please, Houghton Community Council, speak up and be willing to veto. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Lisa McConnell.
I have some copies of things that I'm going to be referring to. I sent it in an email, but I sent it late. I was wondering if...
I printed it out, but I don't know if you didn't. Who needs a copy?
Does the Planning Commission want or need?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea if we all get copies. I mean,
just anybody who doesn't, raise your hand so that Lisa can get it to you.
I mean, whatever she's got.
Pretty sure I already got it.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Lisa McConnell, longtime Houghton resident. Three main things that most of our points of contention with this considering of residential suites is traffic, mass and scale of the and density. At the September 19th council meeting, Toby Nixon stated that, quote, 50 more cars would not be noticeable and that numbers here are vanishingly small compared to the existing traffic. Included is the chart of the city's own neighborhood traffic study, which shows an average of 686 vehicles per day on 106th Avenue Northeast, which is the main ingress and egress point for these properties being considered. So 50 or more cars per hour at peak would indeed be very noticeable on this street with only 686 cars per day. Also from the council meeting is a chart that I'm sure you're going to be seeing later from the city staff To note is the 23 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips today, 72 if there is a three-story residential suite, 96 for a four-story residential suite. This means there's a tripling of peak hour traffic over current, a quadrupling over current traffic on 106 if you put a three- or a four-story residential suite there. Now imagine your neighborhood street tripling or quadrupling its traffic on its neighborhood street by just one development. And we're not talking about the entire Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center development. We're just talking about one area of development. To that, I'm also referring to the chart above. We're talking 263 units per acre for a three-story residential suite. 263 units per acre. 350 units per acre for a four-story residential suite. That is astronomical, and I don't know where that occurs anywhere else in the city, certainly not in a residential area. Councilmember Arnold said at the September 19th council meeting, can we do better than what exists and what is vested today? Yes, we can. I agree with him. But I also agree that residential suites are not the only way to this goal. And I'm running out of time, so my current asks are that not allow unlimited density on these properties and pursue limited density increases that may achieve the same goal for affordable housing and keep the height limits to three stories. And you can read the rest on your leisure. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Pam Kiesel, please.
Earlier today, I think sometime this morning, I emailed the Houghton Community Council, the City Council, and also the Planning Commission. I'll just reemphasize a couple of things.
Pam, would you talk into the mic, please?
Oh, yeah, I'll
try. You can lower it a little bit.
Thanks, Elsie. That's
wow. That's
is this any better?
Yeah,
that works
better.
Okay. As I was saying, I sent emails to the Planning Commission, to Houghton Community Council, and to the City Council this morning. So I'll just highlight a couple of things that I said. Following on Lisa's facts and data, if any of you have driven through that area, most any time of day, you know that there's already a terrible traffic situation that goes on trying to get through the Houghton Shopping Center area. This is just going to exacerbate it, especially during commute times, but some days commute time is all day. Those numbers boggle my mind because I don't know where parking could occur. Neighborhoods are already being impacted by all kinds of people who come in and park for various reasons because there is no other place for them to park, or that is their feeling. I know that the council studied many factors and analyzed and discussed and considered many things concerning this project. My understanding was that you previously asked for the zoning to stay at RM 3.6, and that would be fair. The height restriction to remain at 30 feet. And I hope that you do not have cause to go back and veto any changes to your initial decisions. We applaud you for having made those decisions. My understanding is also that there are already 5,900 units in the pipeline for Kirkland, and it's already one of the densest cities in our entire state. Is it really necessary to add even more density? Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Is there anyone else who would like to speak who didn't get a chance to sign up?
Sorry, I didn't have a chance to prepare much. I'm Anna Rising, the chair of Everest Neighborhood Association. I want to echo what Lisa said, but also, obviously, Houghton is not in my neighborhood. But what a couple things I wanted to mention is we heard over and over that this issue brought out more people than any single issue in Kirkland. I think Glenn might have actually been the one who said three times more than he's ever seen before. We had 300 people show up at a public hearing, and I believe you've gotten 400 people writing in. So to just have the city council kind of ignore that because they want to do what they think is right, I think is very dangerous. No wonder you get people who are very frustrated. And if this issue is going to be brought up, as I've mentioned to the council, then we need another public hearing to discuss it so everybody gets to have their say. And also, you know, we worry about setting a precedent. Once, if this is residential suites are allowed there, then what's to stop it to go to the rest of HENC and we could have, you know, 2,000 units? Because that seems to be like the impression I'm getting is doesn't really matter what those residents think. We're just going to do what we think is best. And don't need to bring up all the points again, but thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Anna. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Okay. Then with that, we will move into the public hearing.
Okay, hi. I'm Joan Lieberman Brill, representing the Planning Department, and this evening's agenda item is the city-initiated amendments to the comprehensive plan. And I'll give a staff presentation, then take you, the Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council will take any public comment, questions, and discussion. Then both bodies will make a recommendation. The amendments, as we've gone over in the study sessions, are the same as what you had studied previously. Capital facilities plan update, rezones of park properties, text amendments to the transportation element to address comments that were received on the 2035 plan from Puget Sound Regional Council, and minor housekeeping amendments. The comprehensive plan capital facilities element has to be revised every year to be consistent with the six-year capital improvement plan. And the highlights for this year are adding an item for acquisition of land to expand McAuliffe Park in the parks project list and moving an unfunded project to a fully funded project. This adoption will be concurrent with the midterm biennial budget and the new six-year CIP. And we will modify the ordinance to reflect any additional changes. Park property rezones are to the Totem Lake Park, McAuliffe Park, and Hazen Hills Park. And if you have any questions on those, we'd be happy to take them. The transportation element text amendments, we had, as we noted previously, text amendments to the reassessment strategy for addressing funding shortfalls and incorporating growing transit community strategies to identify transit station areas and establish transit community goals. The minor amendments are to add King County Climate Change Collaborative to the countywide organizations that we do cooperate with in our policy that make the city go forward. And the community character element amendment is to update a current table in that section of the plan that identifies historic structures, buildings, sites, and objects, to bring it up to date with current conditions. The next steps in this process are to go to December 12th ordinance adoption with the City Council, along with all other amendments to the comprehensive plan. Those would be the CARs, the citizen amendment requests, and then final approval by the Houghton Community Council, tentatively January 22nd. So that concludes my staff presentation, and thank you.
Thank you, Joan. Do we have a sign-up for public comment? Or no one has signed up. Well, this is a public hearing, so if anybody has any comments about the proposed city comp plan amendments, this would be a great time for you to come up and speak to us.
And even if you don't want to speak, if you simply sign up, it'll ensure that you're on the listserv to get information on the email. You don't really have to say anything, but that ensures you to get the emails.
Okay, we've got a taker.
Okay, we got a taker. Name's Larry Totally, 11201 Northeast 58th Place, Kirkland. And my primary focus as a practicing transportation engineer for 35 years was on the transportation section, and the responses to the Puget Sound Regional Council's comments, having prepared many transportation elements for that. And I believe I just like to support the comments and the amendments that the city staff has put in on those as well. The parks projects are areas I'm not familiar with, and the rest of both the transportation master plan and the capital facilities plans are pretty much perfunctory type things. You need to make them consistent. So those processes have gone through their own review. So from that perspective, I would suggest, at least from the transportation perspective, that the Community Council and Planning Commission adopt those. Thank you.
Very good. Would anyone else care to speak? All right. With that, we will close the public hearing on the proposed comp plan amendments. And, you know, I'd like to, Colleen, kind of like to give you the opportunity. The majority of these are outside of Coton's jurisdiction anyway. And so I know that when we had our study session, we didn't really have any issues with any of the proposed comp plan amendments. Well, am I out of?
No. I would just like one definition, if I could.
Sure, Betsy.
Okay. The change in the wording here, if you could you define for me what a transit station area neighborhood is? Does that have a real definition? Or do we have designated transit station area neighborhoods specified anywhere in Kirkland?
I believe that's just a more general term. We have identified in the comprehensive plan text that the downtown and Totem Lake. Yeah. But I think it's just intended as there's okay. going to be, you know, the main station up in Totem Lake, and then we have the more dense city building in downtown as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions on the council?
And just to follow up on that, Joan, that does not necessarily mean there's a specific transit-oriented development in that location. It's just a general term for the area.
Yeah.
Okay. So any other Houghton Council questions or comments? Okay, so Colleen, I'd kind of like to let you kind of take the lead on, particularly with regard to any of these issues that are outside of Houghton.
All right, commissioners, any questions or discussion? Go ahead. Mr. Singhal.
I had a request specifically on attachment 8. Page 48 is the page number at the bottom of the page. The sentence, the amended paragraph is the paragraph starting with another opportunity to work. The paragraph doesn't actually make any sense as I read it. And so I'd like to suggest a couple of just corrections. I think these are corrections, which would be first to remove the comma after the word partners and change the rest of the sentence to say the successful aspects of the, and then insert, transit-oriented development of the South Kirkland Park and Ride, and then strike the words into a transit-oriented development. So the final sentence would read, another opportunity to work with community partners will be to take the successful aspects of the transit-oriented development of the South Kirkland Park and Ride and explore implementing similar development at the Kingsgate and Houghton Park and Rides, et cetera, et cetera.
That's, I guess, redundant. Got something against redundancy. Something against things that don't parse. That
All right, Commissioner Begg.
Well, I just, it was the question I asked last time about and noticing this $8.6 million in grants, that I wondered about the effect of the lack of a state capital budget as to how it may affect the projects. I didn't quite follow the train all the way through as to where that might affect this. It was part of the PRSC comment about what happens if you don't get funding as requested.
What I believe is addresses that is the 20-year transportation plan has all of the capital projects in it for the 6-year period, well, the 20-year period. And the transportation manager noted that they would look at those, try to anticipate whether they met the level of service that has been established. If they don't, let's see. I believe that they were going to look at new revenue sources, changing the level of service, or revising the plan, the land use plan densities, to reconcile the funding shortfall.
Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Peterson?
Nothing.
And Commissioner Tim Chisholm? All right. Nothing for me. Go ahead.
If I could just make one comment to follow up on this is the proposed change in language has another opportunity to work with community partners, just to remind sort of everybody the difficulty that we had on the South Kirkland Park and Ride during the planning and conceptualization process, working together with all the community partners. We had a proposal that went one direction that everybody felt comfortable with, and upon approval, it went a different direction. And there was quite a bit of discussion afterwards about the process. And I'm wondering if it might be an opportunity to maybe quantify the process a little bit more about some of the beginning design proposals be followed with the implementation and the final design proposals, and they not be completely different. Because that is exactly what happened with South Kirkland Park and Ride. The initial conceptual stuff that we studied was very different than the end result, surprisingly.
John, are you suggesting that that's something that should be incorporated into this?
I'm simply asking the question if there's an opportunity to discuss that now and if you want to discuss that. So,
Eric, I think that's on you.
I'm not sure. Is there something in there, is there a particular place in here you think that would be appropriate to address? Or is it just something you want to come back to as a conversation? It's
My comment is that we discussed how we were surprised.
Right.
And I'm just trying to prevent that again because it caused an awful lot of consternation. That's all. Just make the process better. Because it says work with the community partners, and you know, everyone was surprised, even the community partners. Yeah. And I'd hate to see that happen again.
One of these successes we had hoped for was a commercial aspect at the park and ride for the people who lived there, and that is what did not materialize. And you know, so we kind of hoped that transit-oriented developments will include services and aspects there so that the people who live there are not just living in a parking lot and they have to leave for everything, you know. And so I don't know if this may not be the place to do it, but I think ensuring somehow that you create livable commercial, you know, some commercial spaces for the people who are living in these transit-oriented developments would be nice.
I would think that the way this is worded, it talks about the successful aspects, which kind of implies that things that didn't work out should be considered as well, and unless you want to explicitly state the lessons learned as well, if you want to add that in. But unless you have a way of modifying the language, I don't think we should be taking any more time on this. Any suggestions on it? No? Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, not for me, no.
Okay. So you, sounds like you're
sounds like counsel. You have to make a recommendation to us, and then we make one to
all right,
council.
Fine.
So
let's, I would, the chair would welcome a motion to approve the recommendation of the comp plan amendments. Let's see. Somebody want to word it properly?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I assume as a park board member that I shouldn't be voting on this, and there's park board.
Oh, because of the park, so you're going to, that's right, you're going to recuse yourself. All we're looking for is a motion recommending approval of the amendments, that's all we need.
So moved.
All right, second. So Bill's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Well, we still got four. So we are recommending approval, and now it's in your hands.
All right, thank you. All right, gentlemen, chair's looking for a motion.
I move that we approve the, or recommend the comp plan amendments, hopefully as amended.
Second.
All right.
Third.
All right. It's four, been moved by Commissioner Singhal and seconded by
A group.
Commissioners, including Commissioner Begg. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Motion carries.
Okay. Now it's time to discuss the Houghton Everest Business District. Direction from this council.
Okay, good evening. I'm here again. I'm Angela Ruggieri.
So are we.
And the council has asked me to come back to you and discuss this topic. So I thought the best thing to do was go through the presentation that I had given at the council meeting last week so you would be on the same page that they were when they asked you to reconsider this. So the area that we're talking about is what we called HEC 2 when we were looking at the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. So this includes both the Waddell property and the city-owned property. And just as a reminder, the recommendation was to keep the Waddell property at 30 feet height limit, but not to limit density, and to leave the city-owned property at its existing zoning, which was RM 3.6. So that was the recommendation that you all gave to the city council, and that was before summer. I think it's been a while. So, and I have since been to council a few times because this issue of residential suites has come up. You also asked the council to maintain affordable housing on that city-owned property. So that's another piece and part of the reason for their, I think, their interest in the residential suites. So, and I've sort of covered part of this slide. So you didn't recommend residential suites. We didn't talk about residential suites. But it came up when I went to the city council for the first time. Again, in trying to be creative, I think, in ways to provide affordable housing.
Isn't that first line a misnomer then? Because we didn't say anything about it, did we?
So
makes it sound like we said it wasn't recommended.
Maybe I didn't word it correctly.
I don't remember.
Sorry about that.
We didn't even
the
talk
point
about
is,
it.
You didn't say anything about residential. Yeah. You didn't recommend it. You did not recommend it. We didn't talk about it.
Not discussed, yeah.
Okay. So sorry for the confusion. But the council did talk about it, and they asked for more information. I've been back to them, I think, twice since then with more information, and that's what leads me to you. They asked, at their last meeting, they asked me to come tonight, and sorry, Planning Commission too. I just put Houghton Community Council, but of course they want both of you to give a recommendation here. And then I'm supposed to go back to them next Tuesday with a recommendation again from both of you. Then if you do decide that you think that residential suites are something we should look at further, as was mentioned earlier, we'll need to have another public hearing because it wasn't discussed, so the public hasn't had a chance to talk about it until recently. One thing I will say is the word's out, and you've probably all noticed you've received a number of emails since we've sent out listservs and people have begun talking. And they are, again, the emails that I have seen are against any additional height in particular. And then also, I think most of them, the residential suites, too. So just brief information on what residential suites are. They're single-room living units. I think you're probably all familiar with Arete, which has been done by Robert Pantley in downtown. That's the idea. They're a minimum of 120 square feet with a maximum of 350 square feet. They are considered one dwelling unit when we look for density purposes. So just so you understand, if you have a density limit in a zone, there's really not much purpose in allowing residential suites because they probably won't be built. If you can only have as many as, say, a regular residential unit, residential units would be more profitable. So they only really work in zones that don't have a density limit. The parking, this has come up a few times about the parking. And if there's a parking manager on site and there's a strict parking, they look at how many people are allowed parking stalls. I mean, I think Robert Pantley actually gives tickets for people who park their cars out on the street. If it's watched very closely, there's a reduction in parking stalls. But if there isn't a parking manager, then it's going to be one parking stall per unit that's required. But there is, in the Pantley development, I think it's 0.5 per unit, and that's because it's being watched very carefully. But I can see that's why people are concerned. Okay. So what I was asked to do for the council was do a number of calculations. And I want to begin by saying that these are estimates. I mean, we don't know exactly how many units would be built. But this were the best estimates that we could come up with to help council and to help you to decide whether this makes sense or not. So there's a lot of calculations here, but I'll try to kind of break it down and say which ones seem to give you the best picture. So I started by looking at the Waddell property, which is about 1.25 acres. Right now there's 24 units on that property, which means, and the way we calculate trips per unit is 0.58 trips per unit. So right now, the estimate is that there's about 14 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips from that property now. So then yes.
Those are, that's just peak hour, right?
Yes.
Because it's 6 to 12 for a residential unit per day.
Right? I'm not talking about, to clarify, the council asked me for peak hour trips, so that's what I did. Yeah, that would be a different thing. But I imagine we'd get the same type of relationships from that. Then I did a 3-story calculation and a 4-story calculation. I think probably what's most important here is a 3-story calculation looking at regular multifamily units. And we came up with we used the figure of 94 units per acre as an average that we got from our consultants' reports. And so that brought us to 117 units and a trip generation, easy for me to say, of about 68 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips. Now, I think the important thing to compare this to is not residential suites at 3 stories, because we've heard that that's not going to work. It's more like what would happen if we had 4 stories. Then how many residential suites would there be? And what would the how many trips would there be? Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't remember. But was peak hours the 5 p.m. or was it? I know that peak hours right around that area is when school lets in and out as well. So could you define what peak hours? is for that location.
I'm going to ask Eric that question. I worked with Public Works on this, right. So I'm not exactly. Or maybe Larry. Do you know what hours, peak hour trips encompass? Do you know what the hours of the day are?
No, but I bet there's somebody in the audience
who does.
There might
be somebody who could help us with this.
An hour between 4 to 6.
Okay, so it's not necessarily when there's the most cars. It's just...
No, it's the most cars from that development, not the most cars.
Can you get them at the microphone?
Yeah, Larry, yeah.
And you identify?
Yeah.
Okay. Larry, totally. The PM peak hour that the traffic studies we're using for the 6th Street Corridor study and all this is the afternoon peak commuter period, which is when there's the most cars on the street.
So it's been measured, it's higher density, or it's more peak than during the Lakeview Elementary pickup and drop
off. In general, yeah, this is more of a generalization. There's more traffic during an hour between 4 to 6 than there is during the afternoon when schools get out. Now, mm-hmm. at a very specific location, such as where the school's at, that may actually be somewhat higher, especially on some side streets and driveways and things like that.
Especially for this property.
Correct.
Across
but
the street from
that's
the school.
That's not what's reflected here.
Okay. And just a further clarification, Larry, that's just in an hour. That's for example, 68 peak hour vehicle trips is...
That'd be during 1 hour.
During 1 hour, right. So it could be 136 between 4 and 6.
Correct. Something like that. And generally for residential properties, I don't have the data for residential suites, but for apartments, single-family housing, you can typically multiply the peak hour traffic by 10 to get an estimate of daily traffic.
Okay. Thanks.
Excuse me.
Yes, Eric.
Larry, before you get too far away from the microphone.
You should just stay here.
Is this our new consultant?
Larry, you need a contract for this.
Yeah.
Consultant. Response to
but then I have to argue against myself.
Issue of Lakeview Elementary. The really, the peak for Lakeview, obviously, would be earlier in the afternoon than the generalized peak, right?
Correct.
And so the peak from a residential use would still adhere to the principle you just said about the hour between 4 and 6.
Correct. Typically, yeah. During, say, 2 to 3, a residential use would have somewhat lower than during the 4 yeah. to 6
yeah.
time
Thank
period.
You.
So, again, what the council wanted to see was what's the difference between regular multifamily units as far as traffic and the residential suites. So, I think what makes the most sense is to compare a three-story multifamily building, which would have, that's what would be allowed now, would have about 68 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips, to the potential four-story residential suites, which would have, if you look at the last line, 55 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips. So it's still less trips. The building is larger. Yes.
How do you get 0.127 trips per unit for the residential suites?
That's a figure that the Public Works Department gets out of their traffic book. And again, this is something that... So there's specific rates that they use to calculate these various things, and I got it from them, and they looked it up. So this is for the Waddell property. Did the same thing for the city property. Just to explain a little bit more about the city property for those who don't know this, the city is right now in negotiations with the King County Housing Authority to potentially trade a piece of property that's up by the city's maintenance center. It's where park maintenance is right now. King County Housing Authority owns that property, and they were talking about trading that piece of property for the city property here. If that occurs, then King County Housing Authority would take over the city property. And as I understand it, they would keep the units that are there, but remodel them, fix them up, and then that would be used as affordable housing. So that's one option for the city property, but if that doesn't happen, the council still wanted to look at what could be done with residential suites. So that property is a little less than an acre. Regular multifamily units there at three stories, about 51 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips. If it was residential suites, which again would require at least four stories, about 41 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips. So again, and we're going to, this is what it's going to be each, for each calculation. There are less vehicle trips with the residential suites. Okay, then I put it all together. And again, I know that you all recommended that we not include the city property in this zone, but the council is interested in considering including it in the zone and doing something with it. So assuming that we did have both the city property and the Waddell property, we've got 2.16 acres there. Right now, with the 39 units that are on the site, it's about 23 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips. If it was redeveloped with multifamily units, about 200 units, it's estimated that there would be 118 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips. If it was redeveloped with residential suite units, a lot of residential suite units, 756, there would be about 96 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips. Now, as Mr. Waddell said, and in his conversations with the city, they're also considering not doing all residential suites there. That's a lot. But maybe doing about a third residential suites and then some single family units, or maybe residential suites and multifamily units. So I also did a calculation that would be that if there were a third of those two sites together were residential suites, that would be 252 units, which would be 32 vehicle trips. And then if there were 16 single-family lots, those each have two trips per unit, so that would be another 32. And overall, it would be 64 p.m. peak hour vehicle trips, which is still less than the 118 that would be if that were all developed as multifamily. So this is just giving you some ideas of the vehicle trips. And I know there's much more to this than that, but those were numbers that the council wanted to look at specifically. Oh, the other thing I haven't mentioned is that the council asked, what are the vehicle trips on 68th Street right now? And so you can see under existing, the bolded area. Existing 250, and this is a count that was done in 2015, because we do it every 2 years and we haven't finished with the 2017 count yet. In 2015, PM peak hour traffic count for 68th east of State Street was 1,011 trips. I think we can be pretty sure that this is not going to go down with the 2017 count, but we don't know how much it will go up. So that gives you an estimate, about 1,000 trips on 68th. And council wanted to see that because they want to compare what are these additional trips, how do they impact that? Okay.
Can I ask a question on that? So why 68th east of State as opposed to 108th or 106th?
I don't know. That was the question that we were asked. I'm assuming they felt that was where the impact would be. Honestly, I can't.
Well, I think the major impact's along 108, not 68.
Or 106, more particularly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you may be right. This is what council asked.
Okay.
So they asked us to bring that back to them, and I thought it would be useful to you too. So I'm sorry, I don't have those other figures for you.
Okay.
I mean, we could get them if you don't come to a conclusion tonight. We can get those for you, but I don't have them with me right now. That's what they asked for, and I'm not sure what the thinking was.
Okay.
Okay. So just a few things to remind you of. I don't know that you really need reminding, but anyway. The three-story limit, that's what was supported by the citizens pretty much overwhelmingly, and also recommended by both of your groups, Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council. But that does prevent residential suites from being a reasonable development option. So if you want to maintain that three-story limit, it doesn't make much sense to go further with the residential suite idea. All of you have expressed an interest in maintaining the affordable housing on the city property. And as I said, if King County Housing Authority does take control of that city property, the existing units will remain and be remodeled, and there will be affordable units. We'll need to have another public hearing if we want to go further with residential suites, and it may take additional time. We don't know, but with the hearing and the additional research, depending on how all this goes, it may push this into a longer time period. So these were the same things that we told the city council when they were trying to consider whether to go forward or not.
Can we let the record show that Vice Chair Pruitt joined us at 7:56? Thanks.
Okay. City Council was asked to give some policy direction to you about why they thought residential suites were appropriate in this zone and in this area. And this is a list of things that they came up with: frequent transit near a commercial zone adjacent to the CKC. It's currently multifamily there, close to a university, close to a park, close to employment. So that's just some policy basis. If you did want to go forward with it, they felt that there was a basis to do that. So what we need from you tonight is, I guess the first thing is, do you want to go forward with this? Should we consider residential suites? And again, if you're considering residential suites, I think you need to be willing to consider four stories, or there's really not much use in going through this. If we're going to do that, we'll set up a joint public hearing, and hopefully the end of this of October. And then another, so that's one piece, the residential suite, the additional height issue. And I guess I should say, I think that the city council was thinking only four stories if there were residential suites, not just a four-story outright allowance. But if you have residential suites, you could do four stories. And then also, they're still interested in additional density on the city property. As I understood it, the reason for that was, even if the housing authority buys or trades for that property and is in control of it, they want there to be an allowance in the future if they wanted to build more units on it, that they could do that, because right now they couldn't build more units than are already there. So those are the questions that they were asking for your guidance on. Yeah.
So to be clear, the original request from the City Council was to look separately at the Waddell property and the City Council property. Now, after last Tuesday's meeting, the request is still to look at the two properties separately as opposed to a whole, because I think that's how the vote came down, and to add the fourth story. So we're supposed to look at it, adding the residential suites with the fourth story as one group now for the Waddell property.
I think you can do it. I mean, they're asking what you can do it any way you want. But
okay.
The question is, should we look at residential suites further for either or both of those properties? And then if you're going to do the residential suites, like I said, it makes sense to say four stories. The two go together, really. The density issue is new, or not new. I mean, we've talked about density on that city-owned property all along, but your original recommendation was to keep the zoning as it is at RM 3.6. And they're saying, would you, if you're not going to, I guess, do the residential, or even if you are going to do the residential suites, would you consider more density there without residential suites? Does that answer your question.
And was there any indication on any kind of request or guidance on what they would like us to consider as far as increasing the density on the city property?
I didn't hear anything. I assume that they were thinking the same as the Waddell property, which right now your recommendation was no density limit on it. But I don't know that. They didn't really say. They just said consider more density. So
you're getting closer to a residential, you know, single-family residential on the city property than you are on the Waddell property. So there'd be more, logically,
you would want less density. That's what they're asking. I think, again, it's what do you all think is appropriate?
Okay. So, Betsy, do you have a question?
Well, I have just a comment. From the beginning, we've talked about looking at this zone comprehensively. And that's why we broke it into the zones we did. We had lots of public hearings. Everybody knows the history. We did look at it comprehensively. We had developers. You know, Jeff Nguyen's asked us many times if he could do residential suites on his property.
That's correct.
And we said no. You know, the PCC people wanted to go to five stories. The people at 7-Eleven. We painstakingly looked at this whole thing comprehensively, and now I feel like the process is now we're supposed to take this one piece and spot zone it differently than, you know, it's like we had a process that I feel like we really struggled to maintain the integrity, and now I feel like we are being asked to spot zone this one property, and I feel like it is unfair to the other properties, you know, because are they going to now come forward and said, well, I'm in the zone over here, and if you're going to allow residential there, all of that criteria also applies to my property. I'm near the, you know, and so I guess I feel like we are I feel like this is a bit of a flawed process that I'm a little concerned about.
So you're expressing an opinion rather than asking a question, and I appreciate the opinion.
But I guess my question is that it? I mean, are we no longer looking at this area comprehensively? Are we, you know?
I mean, I'll give you my best answer. I think when you consider residential suites in this zone, you should be still looking at the area comprehensive. I mean, and determining, does it make sense? Because you're looking at the rest of the area, and either you think, yeah, it makes sense there, or it doesn't, or maybe it should be in a broader area. I don't know. But I don't think that the city council said, don't look at it comprehensively. They just said that they're interested in seeing it in the number two zone. What do you think?
And is that because they own the property there? Is that because the city owns
it? No, I think, you know, and I mean, it's hard for me to speak for them, but my impression was they are trying to figure out a way to get affordable housing, and they thought that this might be a way to do that. And then it's developed. I mean, their original proposal was, you know, just look into residential suites. They weren't saying four stories. Mm-hmm. But as we did the research, it doesn't work. So then we came back and said that. And they still felt that maybe it was worth looking into it further, even though that changed. So it's kind of developed, but my impression was that it grew out of the fact that you all said, we want to have affordable housing, and they're trying to figure out a way to do it.
Angela, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Are there any unique aspects to this property that would distinguish it from the others, either public benefits or what? Is there something about this that makes it different?
Well, it is adjacent to the Cross Kirkland Corridor. I mean, so are you when you say public benefits,
anything? Is there a reason that you could distinguish this property from the others in the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center that would logically support giving it and making an exception to what we've recommended?
Oh, I don't. I mean, I can speak to the public benefit portion. Like I said, it's adjacent to the Cross Kirkland Corridor. Does that make it? I mean, does that make it different from the property on the north where the offices are? No, I don't think so. I mean, I can't. I don't feel comfortable arguing for that.
Okay, John, and then I'll get you. Go ahead, John.
I just had two questions. Number one, would you please discuss if we do move forward and study this and have a hearing, what will that do to our timeline in terms of getting our comprehensive plan updated this year so it matches up with the zoning code? And second, would you talk about overall on the city of how we're hitting our housing numbers to be in compliance with the Growth Management Act?
So I'll take the first one, and Eric can answer the second question. I will try to still make the end of the year deadline, but I don't know what's going to happen after we have a public hearing, so I can't guarantee that that will still, you know, I don't know, will there be more questions? Will there be more research necessary? It's possible. That's why I put that up there for the council, because I'd say, you know, we're taking a step back here, and this might slow things down. I'll try to meet that deadline, but I don't know if we will.
Eric?
Well, I think we're way ahead of our targets for housing growth right now. I don't know if everything that's in the pipeline will be built. If I had to bet, I'd bet that a lot of it won't. But even so, I think at the rate we're going, there's a lot of housing. A lot of it's in Totem Lake and also downtown. But there's plenty of housing, I think, which is if you just took a linear projection of 20 years, we would be ahead of the curve.
Okay. Glenn.
Well, I can see seeing the property, I can see some reasons why this could be considered a little better for more than three stories, or it's a little more buffered by, you know, 68th on one side, it's commercial on the other. It does have the city property to the south, which is why it would be good to have a transition in that area. And you do have this key CKC at the other side, which, if nothing else, makes it a, you know, setback from other properties. So, and it's on the CKC, as Angela mentioned. So I think those are all good reasons. I would guess why the city council has brought this up is Mr. Waddell has applied to build single family on this site and saying, you know, and says that I don't dispute him, that it doesn't pencil to do, you know, other things like he said. He feels like you need four or five stories to do, do residential suites or perhaps some other thing. So I have a feeling that's why city council that factored into their, minds too. But I'm sure the public CKC access is spinning in their minds too, because or at least the proximity to it is.
Okay. Yes, Matt.
So Eric, when you say we're ahead of our housing targets, which is something we've heard a lot throughout this process, and in some form from the community in regards to whether we do three or five stories on that property or on that at the center. When we say that, though, when we say we're ahead of our housing targets, do we know what the impact is on affordable housing in the city? When if we're ahead, what does that mean exactly? And maybe we don't know.
Well, I would just say, from observation, I don't think housing prices are going down. So when prices are going up, rents are going up, that means demand exceeds supply. So I think that from a purely economic perspective, the reason there's a lot of housing in the pipeline is because builders want to build to meet the demand. So I would just say anecdotally that probably without keeping up with housing, which we may not be, that the housing prices are not going to be ameliorated anytime soon.
Yes, Carter.
This whole thing, the question is, this is talking about affordable housing, and unfortunately Commissioner Miller isn't here, who's been serving in that committee for quite a while. And I just hear, what I'm sort of hearing out of this is These residential suites sort of being the silver bullet for affordable housing. And I wonder, really, the question is, what, there's a mix. We need a shotgun blast. You know, there's all kinds of different kinds of affordable housing. And is it really, are we really just, how much of the problem are we really solving by putting a bunch of residential suites? Obviously, they're going to be pretty much either single occupants or maybe two, but no families, stuff like that. So in the overall picture of getting affordable housing, is it just small little units that rent cheap? That's not really the real answer.
I actually, that triggers one. I'll get to just one quick question for you, Eric. Yeah. As I recall, Arete is not strictly residential suites. Arete, it's a mix of apartments and residential suites. Do you know what the composition is?
I don't, offhand, no. But you're right, it is a mixture of.
So that would totally throw off these projections if we're strictly looking at it as a residential suite project, unless. Well, I guess.
I don't know, but I'm thinking that the numbers that we got were for just the residential suite portion.
Well, so the proposal being that it would be limited to strictly residential suites, you wouldn't be allowed to have any mix of apartments in right? Is that the direction?
Well, I suppose I see what you mean. If you're saying four stories only if you have residential suites, then I mean, there's probably a way you could write that. Because I showed you an example of like a third of it would be residential suites. So maybe that's the portion of the project that could be four stories, and then you would say other parts would need to be lower. But within that building, that four-story building, you're correct. That would, if you decided to have it written that way, they would need to be all residential suites. Is that answering your question?
I just wanted a clarification on that.
That makes sense.
Also wanted to compare it with, you know, Arete being the project that or the pilot project in the city.
And what I did when I got the figures from Robert Pantley was I asked him how much square footage did he need for each residential suite unit, and that included things like the combined areas that people could use, and also how much square footage did he need for the regular apartments that also have some combined areas. And that's how we did it. So we compared those two for his development, and I think that gave us a good reference to the sizes in that way. But you're right, the height is a different issue.
Okay. Colleen?
I think this is actually for Eric. If I can paraphrase you, Commissioner Pruitt, where are we? We have a whole bunch of housing in the pipeline. How much of that is affordable housing, and where are we on those targets? And one of the things I have a serious issue with, okay, this is soapbox time, is that we have a comprehensive plan, but we don't have a plan for affordable housing that's comprehensive in the city of Kirkland, right? So I guess, so to paraphrase Commissioner Pruitt, where are we on our affordable housing targets in that pipeline? I mean, was 10% of what's in the pipeline supposed to be affordable, 5%? That's more what I'm interested in hearing.
Well, we don't have specific numerical targets assigned to Kirkland for affordable housing. That changed with the most recent plan, because regionally there was a lot of differences of opinion between cities and King County as to what a fair share is. South King County has a whole different housing market, different issues than East King County, for example. So we did not get assigned targets. However, there is a countywide need, and if you compare what Kirkland is doing compared to that countywide need, we are way significantly behind where we would possibly be. I can't give you specific figures for that, but I know we're just not going to be even close. Notwithstanding that, we are doing a number of things, and I think we should take credit for those. We do require affordable units in new market rate projects, for example. We provide tax incentives, and we provide fee waivers and so forth for affordable housing. And we also have a committee right now that is putting together recommended housing strategy plan to help us take the next step for affordable housing.
Glenn.
I've followed the Affordable Housing Task Force. Mr. Miller is on, gone to about half the meetings. I've got a great interest in it myself. And I think, actually, it's funny, if you think that this isn't doing very much, you're right. And I used to say, years ago, before residential suites, I'd hear about these little things, and I'd say, what good is a few units do? And now I'm convinced that, man, anything is a start. Anything is pushing it in the right direction. I really, really think, you know, we need those. And I believe, was it the last minute meeting? Maybe Mr. Beck wasn't it. But Mike Miller expressed his frustration on going to a affordable housing meetings and talking about how to do it and coming back and hearing, you know, issues with, you know, growth and density that the public has. And I totally understand those issues, believe me. Totally understand. Traffic is bad and it doesn't make it any better. But it's a real... That's why it's a real fight. I really think we have to do. I really think we have to do some of them, and I really do think some help.
Okay. Yes.
I agree with most of what you said, Glenn. The one area where I would parse is it's not really about whether this specific project would help or not. It's about we keep getting. Questions about whether we should increase density in part because of affordable housing. But when you look back to whether or not that increased density will actually produce the affordable housing or whether there's any targets for affordable housing or whether there's any comprehensive plan for affordable housing, it's not there. I mean, so we keep bringing up specific areas where we say, hey, let's increase density here. It'll increase affordable housing. But we don't really know that because... Until we have a plan that is specific as far as what are our targets are and what do we need and in those areas, I mean, we're going to have this conversation on Thursday about Finn Hill, too. We don't have a lot to really go on, and it's hard to sort of consider affordable housing as a criteria in some of these proposals without that.
Okay. To move this along, I think that it would be helpful for the community council, since the whole community council ultimately has the ability to either accept or reject any modifications, and we're being asked to consider the possibility of allowing four stories just and along with the residential suite criteria. Rather than spend a whole lot of time on this, I'd like to just get a quick straw poll among the Houghton Community Council on whether it's something that you would even be open to the consideration. You know, I'm not saying you're deciding for it or against it, but if regardless of what new information may be presented through the public process, you're set on sticking to the three stories, then there's no point in even having any further discussion about residential suites and four stories for this property, for this portion of the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. And just to sum up where we're at, we've got people have expressed concerns about how this reflects on the public process that we've gone through and all the public input and the comprehensive nature of the plan, the concerns for traffic impacts and parking impacts. By the way, the park didn't even get, there was no presentation on the parking impacts. I know that generally considered, you know, the suites have less parking impact and they're allowed less parking. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to have significant parking impacts on the neighbors. There's some concerns there, I think. So we got traffic and parking impacts and plus... If we made an exception for this property, how does that reflect on the rest of the entire neighborhood center? So with those things in mind, I would like to have each of you quickly, I don't want to have a long discussion, but I want you to just give me a quick read on whether you're even open to considering four stories with a residential suite qualification. Brian?
I am not open to it.
Not. Betsy?
Not at this time.
Not. Bill?
Not.
Not.
We have to honor the process. No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
We're done.
Okay. So that settles that. Now we've got a couple things to take up. The city's asked us about additional density on the city property because for future development on the site, and I'd love to get us all to discuss that as to where we think that might be. The second thing we need to discuss is Doug did say that he would like us to consider some relief on that step back requirement for the third story to try to give him the ability to make economic sense of keeping apartments on that site rather than turning it into a 12 or whatever 16 single family homes, so which has merit. I mean, that's certain. If we could keep the existing apartments and add a few more, that certainly helps with the affordable issue. So those are the two things we need to discuss. And let's start with additional density on the city property. Any thoughts on that? Is anybody opposed to considering increasing the density from what it currently is? Are we open to it?
Isn't there no density limit on
No, the city, our recommendation was RM 3.6 for the city site.
Okay.
Yeah, which is where it is now. So no change on the city. That was our recommendation. And as I said, when Angela said, well, maybe just consider unlimited, well, I see a problem with that. Not that it's my decision, but, I think there should be a transition between unlimited density and single family in there, and that would argue for having something less than unlimited density. So, but
my opinion is not at this time. I think if once the property is, if it is swapped, and that's something they want to consider, then we can consider it then.
Be but open I, to it, but leave
I
it.
I feel right now it would be a blind permission. So I'm against changing it.
Patsy?
I agree. Not at this time. I agree. Maybe
in the future, but now.
Maybe in the future, yeah. I feel like we've been through a process, and I feel like we should stick with it.
Bill?
Yeah, I agree. Let's leave it at 3.6. Let's see what happens with Kirkland Urban and Google build out and see what happens to the whole area before we add more density.
All right.
I think I would be open to talking about it.
Okay. Elsie?
I think we've gone through a process to get this all finished. Now's not the time to be starting to make big changes in it. So I would say no.
Okay. John?
I think we should honor the process. I think we should conclude the rezone of this entire area and finish this. I think we are unsure of whether or not there will be a land swap with the Housing Authority and the City of Kirkland with regard to properties. If that does happen and if the Housing Authority has a specific proposal, I think they should come back as a private amendment request. And I think probably if that happened, the Planning Commission would be open to looking at it at that time, and then it would come back to us.
Okay. I'm pretty much along the same lines as John, I think. So with that, and since we ultimately have the decision, there's no point in wasting your time on that. Let's talk about the suggestion that Doug made as far as modifying the step back to try to give him give one last chance to try to retain
Carter. Can I ask one question?
Yes, please,
so
Angela.
I'm assuming that you're saying that you would veto this if either of those
that was the point of doing this.
Okay.
Yeah
Thank
just
you.
To try to let's yeah. not waste everybody's
I just
time.
Want to be able to tell them
yeah
that.
No yeah. and that's okay. yeah that's
fine
it, it
ahead.
Is what it is okay
yeah.
and we're basically honoring the process and mm-hmm. so Carter
well to the last point about
yes
the wedding cake thing and the first question would be if not now perhaps a better substitute would be either DRB or administrative design yeah. review with modulation of facades and things like that to the specific design that Mr. Waddell wants to submit.
Well, and the DRB is a requirement, I
yeah.
believe, under
it
the...
It is.
So,
it
yeah,
is.
It would be a requirement, but I believe we've got a step-back requirement built in beyond... Do we not?
That's correct.
Yeah, we do have a step-back requirement, and so he's saying that doesn't... That given the his property layout, it would... Effectively make it
economically
infeasible.
If you have DRB review,
we don't need the step back requirement of the DRB for the outdoor.
Well, that's not what we all voted for. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
I get what you're saying, Carter. But we have that is a condition we put in our approval process. Not just us, you too. I mean, collectively, we came up with that recommendation. But I think in the interest of preserving some affordable housing and maybe adding a little, I think there may be some merit to considering it. And this one isn't one that we have the luxury of waiting and seeing. Because the reality is, if we don't give that a possibility, then I have talked with Doug. He's made, not just me personally, but he's made it clear with the market situation, he's going to have to make a decision sooner or later, and probably sooner, on what it's going to do with the property. Colleen?
So maybe you put in modulation, except in the cases or in, you know, remove it in lieu of some consideration for affordable housing or whatever. You just put in those three words or whatever, just somehow, you know, because my understanding was a modulation would be required at the gateway and places where, you know, at the gateway into the commercial center. But that property is, you know, there's some grade and there's some, you know, there is commercial property, city property. There's a little bit, and then up against the so it's kind of a little bit unique. But I'm just suggesting that maybe we just put in this language that
John,
maybe you trade it.
Okay, John.
Is it possible we could just pull up quickly? That's under the massing and modulation section of the design guidelines. Is there a way that we could just see that quickly so we know what is in that portion of the?
I don't have that with me, but it's not the design guidelines where it shows up. It's right now. It's actually in the code. Yeah. It would be in the code on the chart. You know, and it's a very specific requirement, and you actually have it for all of the zones.
Mm-hmm.
The difference here is on the commercial zones, if they have commercial uses on the ground floor, they can go all the way up to the property line. In the case of the number two zone, there's a 10-foot setback already.
Yeah.
But anyway, but in answer to your question, it's not a design guideline, it's an actual regulation.
All right. Brian.
I, for one, would be open to modifying it. I think it's a valid argument. And I think the primary reason we had the step backs was really off of the main street, off of 68th.
Yeah.
And I think the primary reason we have the height limits on that particular property actually is for the view. And so towards the Olympic Mountains and the lake. And so I don't feel that it is really needed or should be required, really, to have the wedding cake requirements for that particular property. So I would be open to changing that.
Okay. Betsy, let's just quickly run down here real quick.
Yeah, I would be open, especially since there is a setback, yeah.
Bill?
Be okay.
Yeah.
Me too. I want to keep the apartments.
Okay. Elsie? John?
Yep.
Okay. You guys have any opposition to doing it? So the direction I guess we would give council is, yeah, we're open to that, and you need to come back to us with how we would need to modify what we've done to try to facilitate that. And
I'm just thinking, I would remove that requirement is what I would do to
for
modify.
That zone.
For that zone only.
Got
is
it.
What I'm hearing from
yeah.
you. Yeah. So I don't know. That's how you would
okay.
remedy it.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other comments, questions? Okay.
So I think. No, yes on the last one.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Angela. I hope we've made your night.
We've made her night something.
You know, one thing that didn't show on the agenda that we always have on our agenda is council member reports. And so real quick, I don't know if you guys if you do, but I'd like to give a quick opportunity if there are any council member reports or comments. Brian.
It's come to my attention that the playground at community school, international school and community school on the south side.
Yes.
Especially this weekend, I don't know if it was before that, but it's been padlocked. So you public cannot get in. And that is a big concern because that also functions as a community park when it's not during school hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's a resident that actually contacted the principal, Harriet Rosemussen. I hope that's how I pronounce it. She contacted the principal, who said that she hadn't known about it and that it was not authorized and that it will be removed soon.
Okay.
And apparently, I don't know who actually put it in, but apparently it was because of frustration and that dog owners were not being responsible. And so there has to be some kind of responsibility there, but also you can't just chain off a public area like that either. So I don't know what, we can't really do anything about that, but I just want to bring that to the attention.
You might also want to bring to the attention of the Parks Department, mm-hmm. since they have some something to say about that as well. So if you wouldn't mind making that call, Brian, just to make them aware of it as well. Cool. Okay. Any other council member comments or reports?
No, housing strategy meeting is next week.
Okay. John?
I had one I mentioned, I think, about a year ago. It might be good if the Planning Commission hears this as well. My office is in an area within Bellevue that is in the East Bellevue Community Council area. So I participate in a lot of their meetings, and I go to an awful lot of the City of Bellevue's meetings as well. Specifically recently about single-family housing zones that have been inundated with group homes. And I made the comment to our council, it was a year and a half or so ago, that I see this coming into Kirkland. I've talked to some code compliance officers in Kirkland, and this is coming. Recently, there's been a group of people that presented to the city council last Tuesday night, more specifically about Airbnbs coming into single-family homes. And I think this is something that should be on our radar screen to discuss. And it's specifically about the legislation that was enacted in 1968 with what constitutes a single-family household. The federal statutes right now are six unrelated people can live in a single-family house that constitutes one single-family residence. People under 18 don't count, and handicapped people don't count. I mean, that's the federal statute. So that really opens up what can be built in terms of a brand-new home and for use in a single-family house. And I really want to encourage the city to pay attention to this. I'm really sorry Eric was out when I mentioned this, but you've heard me talk about this before. I'm going to gather up some more information from the Bellevue Planning Commission, and I will bring that back at our next meeting just so this can... I want to be ahead of this as opposed to reactionary against this. That's my council report.
Great. All right.
I also had one more question. I guess I don't know where else to air it. Is I've had several constituents ask the estimated completion of the project on Northeast 52nd Street where they're building up the sidewalk.
Talk to Public Works.
Public Works.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anything you guys care to? Okay, with that, meeting adjourned. Thank you, guys.